oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the soft on crime premier has unleashed a 37% explosion in violent crime as a direct result of his dangerous catch and release policies. To make the crime crisis even worse, the NDP's reckless experiment to decriminalize meth, crack cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl has fueled utter chaos, turning even our hospitals into hotspots for rampant drug use. Multiple health authority memos confirm that illicit drug use and even drug trafficking in hospitals are not just tolerated, but actually endorsed as NDP policy. The experiment has failed, period. People have had enough. So when will the Premier admit his failure and immediately adopt BC United's policy to end his reckless decriminalization experiment?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I appreciate the question from the member. What I can tell the Leader of the Opposition is that police are doing everything they can every day to deal with those who would prey on the most vulnerable in our society, Honourable Speaker. We are working with police on a daily basis to make sure that they've got the tools they need, that they've got the regulations they need, that they've got the laws they need so that they are able to do their job, Honourable Speaker. And we are continuing to do that. Whether it's the development of the Safer Communities Plan, Honourable Speaker, whether it's ensuring that they have, as I said a moment ago, the tools they need to interdict organized crime that wants to prey on those most vulnerable, we are doing everything we can to make, and police are doing everything they can to make sure that they are interdicting those who would traffic in dangerous drugs that are killing people.
Leader of the Official Opposition, supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, it's certainly not the police work that concerns us. They do their exceptional work every single day. It's the lack of results from these government policies that don't allow the police to keep those criminals in jail where they ought to be, instead of releasing them back onto the streets. Every day brings more evidence of the savage chaos unleashed by this government's reckless decriminalization and soft-on-crime policies. Manpreet Kaur and her husband Jatinder Singh, newcomers from India, were enjoying a Sunday evening at the White Rock Pier when terror struck. Manpreet recounts the chilling moment, and I quote, "We were just sitting on the bench, talking, eating, spending quality time and feeling so relaxed when a stranger just hit my husband with a knife and cut my husband's neck with that knife," end of quote. Within 48 hours, the same attacker has committed another vile random attack, fatally stabbing an innocent man on the White Rock Promenade. So my question to this Premier, why would the Premier not look at the evidence, finally accept BC United's plan to keep people safe and end his disastrous catch-and-release policies?
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member. But I want to point out something in this terrible, tragic situation that he has described. The police are doing everything they can to catch the individual. People have come forward with information. The police believe that the same suspect is responsible in both cases and are doing everything they can to apprehend that individual, to ensure that individual is brought to justice, that that individual is charged, that that individual is sentenced, and that individual goes to jail for a very long time. And I think it's important that the member let the police do their job in understanding and determining exactly what happened in this situation, who the individual is, and get all of the facts. That's what the police do. They do it every day. They do an exceptional job. And I have faith in the police that they will do just that. And I have faith in our justice system that when this individual is brought to justice, that they will face it and they will spend a very long time behind bars.
Leader of the Official Opposition, second supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm glad the Minister has faith in the justice system, because I can tell you British Columbians have lost faith in your government when it comes to keeping them safe in their communities. The fact of the matter is, people are tired of the empty NDP words. This minister always talks tough. We're going to get them. We're going to put them in jail. We're going to keep them there. Unfortunately, the reality is totally the opposite. And the public is demanding when they're going to bring an end to their soft-on-crime policies. It was this premier, after all, that promised results we would see and feel. Well, we're seeing it, all right. We're seeing the explosion of rampant drug use. We're seeing the explosion of crime, random violence, and total social disorder in every community across this province. Manpreet's words capture the fear that so many families feel, and I quote, "Today, we are not safe in BC," end of quote. And like so many, I've lost track of the number of times that I've been on that White Rock Pier with my family, walking and enjoying the beautiful evenings. And I can't imagine how we can have a situation where this kind of brutal violence cannot, should never be tolerated as the new normal in British Columbia. The fundamental job of government is to keep people safe. Having a premier that talks about how he's white hot angry isn't enough. Nothing has changed. So my question is, when will the premier finally do his job, end this disastrous catch and release policy platform of theirs, and start protecting innocent families?
Minister of Public Safety.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I appreciate the question from the Honourable Member. But I will say this. This is a terrible tragedy. An individual was stabbed and somebody else was killed. And the police are doing everything they can to catch the suspect. And they have information on who the individual is that leads them to be confident that it's the same person committed both crimes. And I think it's important for the member to make sure that all the facts are in, that the police do their proper investigation, so that we are able to ensure that justice will be done. And for the member to somehow suggest that that is being soft on crime, or that people who commit murder are just released, not sentenced, and that he seems to not have confidence in our justice system, that when people who are charged with murder will not be sentenced, I think is... Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I have confidence in our justice system. I have confidence in our police. And I have confidence that when this individual is caught, this individual will be brought to trial, this individual will be charged, and when found guilty, this individual will be sentenced to prison for a very long time.
The member for Surrey White Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, with all due respect to this Solicitor General, I know that the police are doing everything they can right now. We know that. The problem is, my community of White Rock does not know that this government is failing every single day to do their job. Their job. Just blocks away from Sunday's stabbing. Last night, a young man lays dead. Lays dead. And this Solicitor General gets up and he gives empty rhetoric time after time, and enough is enough. We're tired of it. We want results. It's not the police, it's this government that is failing time and time again. And now they're failing my community. And we're tired of it. When will this premier wake up and realize His catch and release policies are failing our communities day in and day out.
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member. And I'll repeat again. The police are doing their job going after this individual. And they will establish all the facts that happened. And they will charge the individual. And the individual, when caught, will be brought to trial. And the individual will face justice. That's exactly what is supposed to happen. And at the same time, this government continues to work with police day in, day out, on ensuring that they have the resources, that they have the support, and that they have a government that stands with them in pushing for changes to the criminal code to be able to do their job. And we will continue to do that, Honourable Speaker, every single day.
Surrey Whitrock, supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I can assure the Solicitor General that is not how my community feels today. Not how they felt on Sunday, not how they felt last night. And people don't trust this Premier and this government to keep them safe. And just today, we have another example of the Premier's disregard for public safety. A shocking Deloitte report showing the NDP's catastrophic mess of a transition in Surrey will cost taxpayers nearly $1 billion. And you know what? It should not have taken a court case for this to be disclosed. Every step of the way, this NDP Premier has shamelessly misled the public and grossly bungled this file. Why did it require a court case for the taxpayers in Surrey to learn about this billion-dollar NDP bill, and where is the level of accountability for this deceit?
Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I thank the member for the question.
Members, Minister will continue.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I'm very happy to respond to this question that the member raised, because once again, the opposition shows just how wrong they are with their research and their information, Honourable Speaker. So Honourable Speaker, the report that they refer to, I referenced first back in April 28th of 2023. That report was the basis for my remarks of that day back on April 28th, 2023. That report was the basis for the technical briefing for the media, which was held the same day, Honourable Speaker. I can also tell you, Honourable Speaker, that the decisions since then were based on one of the options in that report, the option that was adopted, the option that was accurate, which was the comparison of apples to apples, which is comparing the costs of the RCMP to the Surrey Police Service based on the authorized strength of the of the detachment at that time in Surrey, Honourable Speaker, which was 724. Deloitte confirmed those numbers, Honourable Speaker. I referenced throughout my time the $30 million was the difference between the RCMP cost and the Surrey Police Service cost. It was actually 29.6, Honourable Speaker, but $30 million for the rounding. I could also tell the Honourable Member that the numbers he are quoted, very disingenuously, are based on the comparison of 900 Surrey Police Service officers to 724 RCMP officers. Talk about comparing apples and oranges as opposed to apples, which is what we talked about, Honourable Speaker, which
members. Members.
And so, Honourable Speaker, I will also be more than happy to table a report.
Leader of the third party.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Thanks to the enormous efforts of First Nations, the federal government closed nearly half of the salmon farms on the coast. They specifically closed all salmon farms in the Discovery Islands because salmon farm pathogens are a serious and irreversible risk to salmon migrating to and from the Fraser River. However, the province of BC has undermined this effort by continuing to permit the Browns Bay Packing Plant Company to discharge contaminated Atlantic Farm salmon blood into this protected region. DFO just issued the lowest freezer sockeye return forecast in the history of Canada. Shouldn't this elicit an all-hands-on-deck response from all levels of government? British Columbians will be ashamed to learn that the province is willingly permitting an Atlantic salmon blood virus to flow into the path of Fraser River sockeye. My question is to the Minister of Environment. To protect this iconic species, will he require the Browns Bay packing plant to divert their effluent pipe into containment?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. But unfortunately, the member is misrepresenting aspects of what happens at Browns Bay, which is a fish packing plant that handles farmed fish as well as wild salmon. Over the past several years, the province has worked with Browns Bay, issued directives to Browns Bay to update and strengthen the effluent permits with more rigorous discharge requirements, increased monitoring, and ensuring that new technologies are being used. All facilities with discharges from processing farmed and wild fish are required to disinfect their effluent, to deactivate pathogens, and to protect wild fish stocks.
Member supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The Browns Bay Packing Company is releasing effluent known to carry salmon pathogens. Instead of ensuring that farm salmon blood effluent being dumped into the highly sensitive wild salmon habitat is pathogen-free as promised, the minister is allowing the company an exemption from pathogen testing. The ministry's unwillingness to demand higher standards from industry is appalling given the risk to the sockeye salmon. First Nations, scientists, concerned citizens, and others have called on this government to stop the ongoing release of farmed salmon blood into the Fraser River salmon migratory corridor. My question again is to the Minister of Environment. Will he do everything in his power to protect wild salmon and ensure that the Browns Bay packing plant effluent pipe is out of the ocean before the 2024 juvenile sockeye outgoing migration begins in May?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In 2019, the Browns Bay packing effluent treatment system was upgraded to meet best achievable technology. The company has since optimized the treatment works, which has improved the quality of the effluent further. We inspected last September and determined that improvements had been made. We are not currently considering additional amendments to the permit. However, we are obviously considering many options to continue to test for effluent and to take action if pathogens are found. Their testing is a permit requirement. The effluent is tested for relevant parameters that are available at commercial labs. The testing is done to confirm ongoing effectiveness of treatment and disinfection. This includes testing for indicator pathogens that show effective disinfection against a variety of pathogens that may be present. When inspections or testing reveal a flaw in the system, the ministry acts and gives directions to Browns Bay to correct the issue.
Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With 204 First Nations around the province, all are eager to be able to address issues such as title. A simple question to the Minister for Aboriginal or for Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation. How many title cases have been filed? How many title cases are pending? And how much private land as well as infrastructure is covered by those cases?
Minister of Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the question from the Honourable Member. There has been a title case in the Cowichan context. There, of course, has been the Chilcotin case. There was a Nechatlet case recently decided by the Supreme Court, and I believe there's been a title case in Coquitlam. That's the state of litigation at the moment. Of course, our objective with the HIDTA agreement is to avoid those kind of title cases and to try to sort things out together with the community on Haida Gwaii.
Member supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And the question, of course, was how much private land and other infrastructure is covered. There was a title case that was moving forward back when I was minister from the Shakwepem Nation, which covered an area just north of Quesnel to south of Williams Lake from Highway 16 to the Alberta border. That covered all of the infrastructure, all the roads, all the rail lines, all the private land, et cetera, as part of this. And so the question once again to the minister is how the people in the province of British Columbia to know just what is going to be happening, what sort of liability is going to be associated with paying any potential issues associated with title being discovered over top or being identified underneath private land and the ensuing infrastructure.
Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, people are, like all British Columbians, First Nations are able to use our litigation system. And of course, there is no impediment in doing so. But our preference under the litigation directives is to try to ensure that we come to an agreement and avoid the kind of issues that the member's referring to. So yes, there have been cases in which First Nations have asserted Aboriginal title over fee simple land. But of course, that is exactly why it is our government's goal to reach agreement with First Nations and the individuals affected in the areas so as to avoid implications for fee simple land. That's exactly what we're doing in the current context.
House Leader of the Official Opposition.
The community of Lumbee is living an NDP catch and release nightmare. They're living that nightmare as the suspect involved in Tatiana Stefanski's tragic murder was caught and freed repeatedly. After a frightening encounter with the suspect at their home following his first release, Tatiana's family felt no choice but to flee, terrified of what might happen next. Certainly, they don't know where the suspect is. This relentless cycle of the soft-on-crime premier's catch-and-release system has left the entire community of Lumbee, the surrounding area, constantly in fear. So the question to the premier is this. How much longer do people in Lumbee need to live in fear before the government adopts BC United's plan to stop the violent crime and end the premier's catch-and-release disaster?
Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to start my comments by sending my thoughts to the people of Lumbee for this very horrific incident. We as a government have been very clear in our investments and our advocacy with respect to repeat violent offenders. Not only did we secure bail reform from the federal government to make sure that repeat violent offenders were kept behind bars, that policy is currently in place, but we didn't stop there. We've invested in repeat violent offender hubs across this province, 12 across this province right now. Mr. Speaker, I've been visiting these hubs and I've been seeing what they've been working on. And I have some results to report so communities can see some of these investments and how they're improving our systems. There was a gentleman in Prince George that was causing a lot of problems for the community and was responsible for 100 calls a month.
Members. Member. Attorney General will continue.
There was a gentleman in Prince George that was responsible for 100 calls a month in that community. Because of the repeat violent offender initiative in that hub, that person is now responsible for zero and is properly monitored by the system. There are currently 400 repeat violent offenders in this system. We know there's more work to do across the province, but I want to ensure that people know we are putting the resources in place and these resources are showing results and we'll keep doing that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Opposition House Leader, supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, the Attorney General should tell that to Jutinder, who was violently stabbed in the neck in a random attack on the White Rock Pier, or maybe tell that to the family of the second victim who lost his life in White Rock last night, or maybe tell that to the family of Tatiana Stefanski, who was murdered in Lumbee. You know, it's a disgrace that this soft-on-crime premier is failing to protect the people of Lumbee and is failing to protect this family, which is scared for their lives. Jason Goodreau, Tatiana's boyfriend, says, and I quote, "The problem lies at a way higher level than the police. This is about the catch-and-release laws that need to be changed," end quote. Mr. Speaker, the premier made a big, big deal about promising better results for public safety in British Columbia, and yet he's delivered a 37% explosion in violent crime. When will this premier adopt BC United's policies and stop putting the rights of criminals, violent criminals in particular, ahead of the rights of this family and British Columbians to feel safe in their homes and their communities?
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and I appreciate the question from the member. And all of us are concerned whenever violent crime happens, Honourable Speaker. It's never acceptable. And what we want to make sure as a government that we're working with police and communities to identify the tools and the changes in terms of laws that need to happen to ensure that police are able to do their job, Honourable Speaker. And we have been doing that since we have taken office, Honourable Speaker. In communities throughout this province, in rural British Columbia and smaller communities, that's why we've made the largest investment in the hiring of RCMP officers in the history of this province, indeed the largest of any jurisdiction in the country, Honourable Speaker. That's why, Honourable Speaker, the Safer Communities Plan put in place programs such as the Repeat Violent Offender Initiative, which the Attorney General just spoke about, Honourable Speaker. A program which they cancelled when they sat on this side of the House, Honourable Speaker.
Shame.
A program that they cancelled, Honourable Speaker. The member can say no, but the fact is, you did. And Honourable Speaker, we will continue to work with police, we will continue to work with prosecutors, we will continue to work with Crown to make sure that police, communities have the tools that they need. And we will continue to push to make changes at the federal criminal code level to ensure that we are doing everything we can to keep communities safe in our province.
Member for Prince George, Vailmount.
Well, under this soft-on-crime premier, catch and release means you can commit multiple carjackings in a row. Yeah. Seth Packer was arrested on Sunday for violently trying to force a victim out of their car during a carjacking. Released with conditions, he predictably violated them the very next day. On Monday, he violently carjacked another vehicle, this time throwing the female driver to the ground, driving off, crashing the car, totaling it. He continued his crime spree, attempting a third carjacking before being arrested yet again. On April 21st, he was charged with one count of attempted theft of motor vehicles, two counts of robbery, one count of theft of a motor vehicle, one count of failing to stop at the scene of an accident, and one count of failing to comply with conditions from the incidents on April 21st and 22nd. Guess what? Additional charges of break and enter, attempted robbery, attempted theft of a motor vehicle were sworn this morning against Packer for the incident yesterday evening. Packer was held in custody by the police on April 22nd, but guess what? Was released after his court appearance in the afternoon. If that doesn't describe catch and release, I have no idea what does. When will this premier do the right thing? Admit that his soft-on-crime policies are causing chaos across British Columbia and adopt BC United's plan to make sure communities are safe and people are held in custody and charged when they do these crimes.
Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. This side of the House is going to continue to ensure that we get changes made to the Criminal Code of Canada that expands the ability to stop bail from individuals who engage in violent acts, Honourable Speaker. An initiative of this side of the House, Honourable Speaker,
members,
and this province, Honourable Speaker.
Members. Let's not prolong it, please. Conclude it, please.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. This side of the House is going to continue to invest ensuring that communities have the policing resources that they require, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, we are going to continue to ensure that we invest on a permanent basis funding for programs such as REVOY that side of the House cut when they sat on this side of the House, Honourable Speaker.
Members, question was already asked, so now it's the government side to answer the question. Please, let's
thank you, Honourable Speaker. And finally, Honourable Speaker, I'll close with this, Honourable Speaker. We will ensure that police have the tools and the resources they need to be doing their job every single day, which they do with remarkable effectiveness in keeping our province and our communities safe.
The bell ends the question period.